Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of the day or evening it is for you. This is Michelle Manders, Palace of Peace Talk Radio, and we are broadcasting from Johannesburg, South Africa. And as always, my gorgeous co-host, Faith Parent Hendrickson in Hollywood. How are you, Faith? Are you awake?
I am awake. I don't know why, but I am. Thank you very much. It's so great to hear your voice again. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Faith. And it's always good to hear your voice. So you're the one that wakes, that's up at the witching hour to be able to be on the show with us at 12 noon in South Africa. And it's 3 a.m. for you, huh?
Yes, which is a little ironic for the topic today, don't you think?
Yes, it is. And thank you, Faith, for always being online at 3 a.m. I know I get up at 3 a.m. in the morning as well,
yes.
So I know what it feels like. But actually, it's quite a productive time of the day. I get so much work done, and that's usually when I do all the pre-recordings for my channelings and what have you. Kids are asleep, and no one's bugging you, and the phones aren't well, my phone goes at that time in the morning because quite a few people know I'm awake at that time. So, yeah. Yes. Anyway, here we are, another week, and apologies for last week. Mercury's been retrograde, and as most of you know, our South African load shedding had a field day last week, and we're here this week. And also, just to let you know, I won't be broadcasting next week. We have a public holiday in South Africa, and my eldest son will be visiting. He lives and works out of town. So there won't be a show next week, but we'll be back online the week afterwards. And
no.
We will continue with these. What?
I'll be driving.
You'll be driving? Driving where?
I'm going to be driving from Hollywood to North Carolina, and I leave the 20th, and I won't get in till the late Tuesday, the 23rd.
Okay, so you are leaving Hollywood and going back home.
Yes.
Is your stint in Hollywood done?
We'll return in September, end of September. So it looks like we'll be back online, if you're available, on Tuesday, July 30.
Let's see whichever way the wind blows and where it takes us, and then we'll confirm
that. And the power.
So,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, well, here we are today with a very, very interesting subject for today, incubus, succubus, and sexual possessions. But before I go into that, just to let you all know, we are almost at the end of the Mercury retrograde. Mercury stations to go direct on Thursday, but that doesn't mean to say that we are out of the woods yet, because that's usually when Mercury exposes a lot of things that have been brewing and stewing during the 3-week retrograde up to the time that it stations to go direct. But because Mercury is in Gemini, it's in its dignified position, it's going to, whatever it exposes and whatever this retrograde has brought up is going to be for very, very good reasons. The next thing is, next week we have Saturn slipping into Scorpio, which is also going to bring about more levels of very deep, very powerful subconscious clearing. Now, I'm actually almost done with my newsletter, and I've written quite a bit in it about what this upcoming retrograde into Saturn, I beg your pardon, into Scorpio is going to bring up for us, and why it's such an important time for us. And I've explained why I feel that. And then we've got Venus going retrograde at the end of next month, which is going to be quite a powerful retrograde. And what I've actually done is, and for now this is for ladies, is I've scheduled a 4-week, I'm just checking my calendar up on the wall. It's a 4-week course every second Friday. And it's going to be in conjunction with the Venus retrograde, and I'm calling it the Goddess Emerging. And I'm going to be working with ladies between the age of 38 and 55, and it's all about the emerging of our goddess self that happens as we enter our 40s and move into our 50s. Now, I'm not 50 yet. I'm 48 years old. But when I was guided to put this workshop together, I was guided to include women who are in their 50s already, because a lot of women who have moved into their 50s are feeling this gap, this missing space, where they did not complete emergence that our 40s bring up for us as women. So it's going to be every second Friday, starting on the 31st of July. If you are interested in joining in, because it's going to be perfect for the Venus retrograde, Venus is going to station retrograde in Virgo only for a few days and then move into Leo, which is going to address a lot of our subconscious ego-related issues, as well as issues around love, our self-love, how we recognize our ability to love ourselves, self-worth, how it is that we either deny the love that we need, do we put ourselves in center stage in terms of our life, making it about ourselves. It's all about me right now. Because we are having to get to the bottom of whatever it is that is restricting our progress forward, our ability to transform, our ability to forgive, which is all part of the Saturn in Scorpio retrograde. Venus retrograding into Leo is what's going to bring up all of these ego-related issues, self-awareness, self-love, self-recognition, putting ourselves in the center stage of what it is that we need so that we can rise above whatever debilitation our ego has created and kind of like convinced us that we are undeserving, as well as the opposite side of the coin where, you know, our inflated egos have perhaps driven us to attach ourselves to ideas and concepts and beliefs that rob us of power or keep us in denial or deluded. So there is so much that is coming up for us to address over the next few months, but it is an incredibly powerful time of awakening, realization, and harnessing this important cycle for us. Now, the reason why I'm speaking about this now is because it is a transition that is assisting us in finding new ways of keeping our energy shielded and protected. A couple of months ago, I don't know if I spoke about it or not, about a vision that I had, it was a few years ago, where I saw all these ships that are around our planet uncloaking, and it wasn't a very positive, and these energies that were coming through were hijacking and taking hundreds of thousands of souls hostage. This was a vision come dream, and the people who were undetected were the people who were completely aligned with their soul, centered within their sense of self-purpose, self-love, and completely free of denial. That was what made them completely invisible, undetectable, and hijackable, if such a word exists, according to my vision. Then I understood one of the things that we all need to do is to free ourselves completely from the binding agents that keep us attached and glued to the old paradigm world. And this is what we are doing now. And as a result of that, more and more of the hidden agenda, the malefic agendas, are being exposed. People are asking more questions. People want to know the truth. There is no more cloak and dagger. There's no more hiding. things are being exposed. And this is what the retrogrades are doing for us. So as much as it's taking us back to review and relook and readdress, it's also in a way taking us back in time, where we are being given the opportunity to travel back in time to the past and readdress certain issues there, come back to the present, in other words, go to the future where we are now, and regroup and change the dynamics that we've been struggling with and wrestling with for the duration of the time that the retrograde is taking us back in time with. So this is a phenomenal year, a key transformative changing year. We are now tapping into a completely new level of possibility, of infinite new possibilities. And we are finding a new sense, collaboration, cooperating with other people of like mind, body, and soul, finding a new level of independence and individuality within the collective role and within the collective circle of light warriors and light workers, who have chosen to step into fifth dimension and break free from the constraints of the old world. And that is what 2015 is all about. So if we take 2015, 2 being the number of collaboration that I just spoke about, 0 being the merging with the collective consciousness, 1 being the individuality and the new level of independence and identity that we are developing, and 5 being the number of freedom, the fifth dimension, moving past our childhood issues, the inner child consciousness that is trapped in any past false paradigm that is not allowing us to break free, to be the wild horses sprinting through the desert plains or the fields of wildflowers, wherever our being is, or wherever our free spirit is. That is what we're connecting with this year. And 5 + 2 = 7 + 1 = 8. So that is the infinite energy that we're tapping into. It's either an abundance of positivity or an abundance of negativity. And with Saturn being retrograde, we've had Mercury go retrograde twice already. We've got Venus about to go retrograde. This is taking us back. It's taking us into the underworld, into our subconscious, into the parts of ourselves that are still attached to any kind of darkness, negativity, or debilitation. And when we are still trapped in any aspect of that, that makes us vulnerable to these external forces that are labeled entities, demons, the incubus, the succubus, all kinds of agitating, harassing energies, anything that pulls our energy down. So it is vital that you take into consideration the introduction that I've given to today's topic, how I have woven the retrogrades into it, and why it's so important to surrender to these retrogrades, to surrender to that deep dive, because the more we strip ourselves bare of these masks and cloaks that we've donned for so long, the less vulnerable we are to these external malefic agendas that are using fears, insecurities, and self-doubt to make us falter, to throw us off our center, to get us hooked and trapped in whatever illusion or idea of lack of safety or fear of whatever it may be, and then pulls us down. Do you understand that, Faith? Does it make sense what I've spoken about?
Well, it does to me because of my background and experiences. So, and working with clients.
Would you like to then, I beg your pardon, Faith,
sure.
Would you like to then just, you know, elaborate it on how you understand it from your perspective and maybe help some of our listeners just get a different perspective?
Sure. When you had that dream, that vision, whatever you want to call that dream, I will never forget it personally, because it was the first time I felt like someone else got what I saw and experienced for quite a while. And what's interesting is people don't want or can't wrap their head around the fact of the simplicity of the truth of the fact that how you feel about yourself is the key, as well as the condition of your body, as to the susceptibility of any type of dark interaction of the other planes. One of the first things when I work with the angelic host in sessions is the fact that self-love and self-worth was number one. Because, well, for many reasons, your auric field is like your, how do they call it? Sorry, this is the downside of getting up at 2:15. your God's natural protection for you, the shield of God, your armor of God, okay? That's your auric field. And what depletes it is how we beat ourselves up about ourselves. And so to understand that all of that negativity is a self-attack, it kind of makes you realize that, okay, to help kick these beings off the planet, to either put them in the light or to send them back to where they come from, the best thing I can do is self-love, and to help Mother Earth is self-love. That's hard for people to understand or wrap their heads around it. But what you're doing is you're creating, think of your auric field as a bubble of light, or maybe like a bubble of air if you're going scuba diving or something, and it's your life that sustains you, or the amniotic sac in the womb. You're perforating it yourself by these things that we hold on to as beliefs that are incredibly destructive. And, oh, by the way, in the discussion of incubus, succubus, because we did have someone write in, a healer from Brazil wrote in because they have a client that is struggling with issues. And actually, we've had other people write in from around the world, too, that they're dealing with people that are at nighttime waking up with scratches on their back. Their sexual areas are sore. Some people feel raped. There are different kinds of phenomenon. And what's happening is there's a connection made with these entities that are called the incubus or succubus. And I believe the incubus is the male version and the succubus is the female. And what they really are humans who've gone dark, in my experience. They're beings that felt completely abandoned, and there are emotional issues always relating around love or the lack of it. And you often have those same issues in common. So an entity that you will pick up, you have something in common with them. Nothing happens. Everything happens for a reason. Nothing just happens. And the incubus and succubus can be attracted by doing things like black magic. It's purposely harmful towards someone. And then if someone that you've slept with or you've exchanged bodily fluids, any, you know, sexual interaction, or you then form that connection with these beings, and then you are under attack. Or if you're in a close relationship, I know we've talked before about in earlier broadcasts, maybe towards the end of the summer last year or in the fall, where people in close friendships were being attacked by their friends' demons. So understanding that your connection with people can bring these things on. But again, it's having something in common, and usually it's been my experience, fear of abandonment, you know, lack of self-worth, lack of self-love is huge. It's the number one thing the angelic host would bring up as a solution or a remedy, is to really know yourself and build that auric field back up again. So that is, you know, a different way of explaining how things happen and the truth of it. So I don't know what you, if you have anything to add to that, we'll talk about how to get out of that situation.
Yes. I think the most important thing everyone needs to bear in mind is awareness, faith. And I think, you know, we've spoken about that on so many occasions, how important awareness is, how important it is to be in touch with your body, to be grounded in your body, to understand where you are at as much as possible in terms of your personal healing process, what your challenges are, where your weaknesses or your vulnerabilities are, and concentrate on calling in the support and assistance of your guardian angel, your healing angels, and whichever other guides or beings of the light you work with in terms of being able to bring light and strength to the aspects of yourself that you are being challenged by. Do you agree with that so far then, Faith? Am I on the right track? Is this what you want me to, where you wanted me to go?
Yeah, I think that you've netted that out perfectly, the awareness, so that you're not afraid too, so you can start taking your power back. That's a very good point.
Absolutely. So now what happens is when you've been in, let's say, let's look at this particular incident with the lady who wrote in about her client. Often what happens is with these men or women who are practicing some kind of dark magic, their whole drive and motivation is it's around power. It's attaining more and more power. And their thing is they will go in and they will take whatever they want regardless of who it is, what it is, or how it happens. So when you as a man or a woman then decide, you know, this is not the relationship for you anymore and you want to move forward, there is it triggers a huge amount of anger, the lashing out, the desire to control, how dare you end it with me. There is such a backlash, and that then becomes this overwhelming psychic attack. And often these psychic attacks manifest as these psychic rapes. These people are also able to, if they so choose, to collaborate with either an incubus, if it's if the victim is a female, or a succubus if the victim is a male. And what these demons and entities can then do will go in and have intercourse with the person that they are being sent to. And this eventually just drains all the energy out of the man or the woman. It can instill huge amounts of fear. That fear can lead to depression, to suicidal thoughts. And as far as people actually taking their own lives, because that energy is so insidious and wraps in through the chakras that it then completely sucks the energy out and drains the person down. So the other thing, before we're going to go into how to clean that up, that's what you said, hey, Faith, we want to do that next. You don't want me to go into that straight away.
I think you should continue, and then we'll go into how to clear this up.
Okay. So
this is good.
The other thing that happens is when people are both men and women, are also sexually promiscuous, and it's out partying, and lots of, you know, synthetic drugs are involved, or any kind of mind-altering substance is involved, and it's done without any kind of proper protection, ever ritual is supposed to be put in place, and it's just, it's done for the wrong reasons, and you go and sleep with whoever it is, you have no idea what that person's doing in their personal life. You have no idea what kind of path they are following. And if it's in a nightclub or it's in a bar, I guarantee you there's probably not a very high level energy that you're dealing with there. So it's a one night stand. That energy hooks into your base chakra, then filters through all of your chakras. Every person that he or she has slept with before you, that energy is absorbed into your chakras. That creates a whole bunch of confusion or downward spiral energy. If that person is connected on any level to any kind of incubus or succubus, you are now open to that energy invading your space as well. So discernment when it comes to who you share your physical body with should be as discerning as what you would consider putting in your mouth. So if your food drops on a street corner pavement, are you going to pick that food up where hundreds of thousands of people walk, have, you know, maybe spat on the sidewalk or whatever it is? Are you going to pick that piece of food up and put it in your mouth and eat it? Some people might, but I like to believe most people won't. You know, will you go for, you know, will you go and drink water out of a puddle that is stagnant and has mosquito larvae in it, or, you know, has someone who has just taken a wee on the side of the road? Are you going to go and drink that? No. But that is what you do to your body when you just give yourself to random strangers. And it's not just intercourse, it is something as simple and as intimate as well as a kiss. Any exchange of bodily fluids, it's DNA, it is going to tap you into it. Now, the other thing that has become a huge problem and is the amount of energetic sexual promiscuity that's going on, the kinds of things that are flooded through social networks. There is no sense of respect or sacred respect or sacred preservation of the sacred tantric act of lovemaking, that sacred act of co-creation, of love creation, where another soul is conceived. All of that is shattered. And Mary Magdalene went into great detail about the energies around sexual promiscuity, the divine marriage, sacred counterparts in the Bali. It was the upgrade of the divine twin flame energy grids. And that was a phenomenal project. So, you know, if any of our listeners are wanting to know greater details around what happens to your energy, what happens to a child's energy when a soul is conceived either on a one-night stand or a rape or a loveless union, what that does, how that affects the soul. This is all vital information for all of us to know, because not only is it shielding against the incubus and the succubus and the sexual possession energy, it is protecting the incoming soul if we're talking about conception. It's about shutting down every portal to malefic agendas within our energy space, within our chakras, because each chakra is a portal. And if any of our chakras are worn due to wounding, trauma, lack of direction, denial, complacency, procrastination, laziness, whatever it may be, in relation to our personal healing journey, we are vulnerable to it. So the most important thing is to bear in mind that the incubus and succubus energy is not an isolated process where, you know, only if you get involved with someone who is practicing black magic, or only if you open yourself up to this energy will it happen. Now, let me tell you, and I have been horrified. Some time ago when I was doing my own personal research into the incubus and succubus energy, which came out, I think it was quite a lot in, was it the first Hungary and Romania
Yeah.
project? I might have been there, yes. So I went and did my own research. Do you know that there are people out there who are in forums asking for step-by-step processes on how to invoke an incubus or succubus in order to have sex with them? I could not believe it. Now, people, these are the things that we are also having to work with, because this is energy that's being invited into our world. These are the morons out there that are inviting these energy in, these energies in. These energies get invited in, and the next door neighbor, let's say it's in an apartment block, one man or one woman decide they want to have a hot, fiery session with either an incubus or a succubus. There's a couple next door who happen to be making love as well, and the woman or the man might be going through, or the husband or the wife or the partner, whatever it is, may be going through their own kind of issue at the time. Their energy's a little bit low. They're unguarded. That incubus or succubus picks up that energy and will hop from the person that's been in, who's invited them into that next apartment, to see if there's anything that they can latch onto there. There might be enough vulnerability for either one of those demons to latch in and then start feeding whichever person it was that they've latched onto, whatever their insecurities are. This then starts to spiral out of control. Suddenly, the couple start fighting about ridiculous things. The person who was the most vulnerable, they become more insecure, more vulnerable. Jealousy outrages, or they withdraw, or they end up having an affair. It is unbelievably crazy at how these things can spiral out of control because of morbid curiosity, ignorance, and plain downright stupidity, because some of these people, I realized, knew exactly what the incubus and succubus is all about, but they've given up on love. They are in so much pain, they are so disillusioned that they don't give a damn. So they invite them in as well. So, Faith, there are so many angles to this. It is, it's kind of like difficult to try and like categorize it into one field, because there are so many different angles here that this is coming at. So this is why I think it was so important for us to address how it happens and why it happens. And, you know, do your own research in terms of what people are doing, how easy it is to invoke it, how even, you know, lying down, going to sleep, and not shielding yourself, not doing your protection for the night, or doing your prayers or giving your thanks or whatever it is, and maybe thinking about, you know, a sexual fantasy or whatever it is, and, you know, you might be without a partner and you are masturbating and you have this idea or whatever it is. You have to be careful that you do not invite something in just in that moment, because you haven't done your prayers or you haven't cleansed your energy at the end of the day. This is how subtle it is. It could be, as I said, a couple and you're making love and, you know, you haven't had a good day, or your partner hasn't had a good day, and, you know, there hasn't been an energetic downloading or cleansing. It can bring something in. Now, I'm not telling you this to now cause panic and mayhem and, oh my goodness, you know, I can't let my partner touch me unless I've cleansed my energy. I'm just giving you information and letting you know how subtle it can be and how deliberately intentional it can be as well. Am I making sense, Faith?
Yes, I think it's important for people to know it's very common, and not to feel ashamed or worried. This is the kind of stuff that is being, that's the beauty of a retrograde, is to bring it out into the open. And to realize that your motivation, as with anything that we create and attempt here, you've got to be clear on what it is you're doing. What's your intention? Is it to feed an incredibly huge wound of neediness instead of nurturing a wound and looking to heal it and bringing in spirit? you know, like you say prayers, honoring each other, respect for the self, all of those things, you're creating a playground for higher, you know, energies that way. And we're just inundated, as you said before, we're just inundated with social media and so many things that, remember the movie we talked about, 50 Shades of Grey, everything is like, mm-hmm. you know, this is an attractive way to live your life, you know, think, you know, and we're not, I think it's important for people who've never listened to us before, we're not prudes, we're not people who are holier than thou, and it's not the point. It's completely understanding how invisible systems work is what we talk a lot about in our shows, and those beings who maximize on our lack of information and working, having the same wounds in common. You'll typically pick up an entity because you do have a viewpoint in common. And I think that's an interesting aspect that probably most people don't think about. You might have more of an idea of that with probably a person who's not crossed over and is stuck between worlds, but it's also true with an incubus, succubus as well. So these are really good points. I like that, how my Virgo-ness likes that, likes the organization of how you're presenting it.
Great. And your Virgo is able to just put things so succinctly where, you know, you just kind of like take everything that I've said and you put it into a neat little paragraph or a few paragraphs. Thank you, Faye. I love your Virgo writing. Well, we've got a caller. I'm not sure if this is a caller to actually talk to us or someone who's just dialed in to listen to the show. So I'm just going to unmute our caller and find out, yeah?
Yes,
hello.
Good morning. This is such a beautiful...
Hi, who are we speaking to?
This is Adele.
Yes, hi. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Texas.
Great. And what would you like to ask us or share with us today?
Oh, wow. This is the most beautiful topic ever in history. this is my first... yes. This is my first time listening in to this broadcast, and I don't want to use the word victim, but I had is married. I am married, and I experienced that through the relationship of my husband when he allowed one of those entities to come in through an affair. But just so happened, because I'm very in tune with myself, I was able to heal or allow healing to go out and heal the other person that he was involved with. And I knew this because of how the vision and the dreams that came about. And a lot of people don't realize this is the most truth about these incubus and things of this nature. It's so true. But you have to really know yourself and understand who you are before you can actually begin to send out healing in the universe.
Well, that's wonderful. It's so nice to hear something like this. And thank you for calling in to share this with us. Because,
yes.
you know, when it is someone like you who's encountered it and you've risen
mm-hmm.
above it, you know, these are
mm-hmm.
the kind of feedback we want. So would you like to just explain to our listeners how it affected you with the partner having an affair, and you know, how you managed to heal it and rise above it? You know, this is valuable information for our listeners, if you wouldn't mind sharing it with us.
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, it's one of those things when you recognize why you came back to the planet in the first place, you know, that's began to be a study of mine. And once you realize that the soul itself I see the soul as a pure, unadulterated being within itself. And throughout our DNAs and throughout our past lives and future lives and so have you, that you have a lot of entities and other spirits that are clinging to the soul. And I had this vision years ago that I was this big ball of fire, and whatever entities that wanted to come and attach themselves, this big ball of fire inside of me burned them up before they can actually attach themselves. And whatever that was here within me that was attached already, they were being consumed by this ball of fire that I was. Once I understood that, I began my journey to where I'm passing through, like, burning up entities that want to clean. So it's like putting Vaseline all over the body and nothing is attached. And you could feel it leaching inside, and I'm able to feel that when it's there. But I'm feeling it, but they can't grab a hold to it, meaning that whether it's my parents, whether it's first best friend, to where I'm not even attached to my own self, and I understand what that means. So I'm not attached to other entities, even by way of whatever someone brings or anything like that. So it got to the point to where even where it's a husband, once you really know the soul being that you are, then you don't get too personal and claim ownership of somebody else's life. So when he goes out and have an affair, or the kids act up in school, or for whatever reason, all of these other emotions that want to attach, then I found myself as a being that was able to burn up anything that came in contact with it. And it's just the thing that works for me. And so that's why I fought it at first, until I recognized, okay, this is not your sole purpose of why you come back to this planet. So it has a lot of evolving within my being to have even that understanding from within myself. And it's hard. You can share it with others, but until they really know their whole essence of themselves, they're still going to become this, like, human attachment to all of these entities. You know what I mean? So, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I mean, I had goosebumps, or as Faith calls them, angel bumps, all over when you're talking about the ball of fire and burning up those entities. I mean, that is just, that's phenomenal. And I'm definitely going to try that at some stage if ever I find I'm, you know, got a stubborn, anyone that's hanging around that stubbornly won't go away. Or...
And the thing about it is that I promise you, I don't know when that began. It's almost as if it was already there, but I had to come. It's like I had to go through all of these manifestations of myself in order to realize, don't forget who you are. Don't forget what you are. And I would always have these dreams about fire because I'm a Virgo myself. I had all these visions, like driving, and I could actually see this fire. And it wasn't a round. It had, like, ragged edges and everything. But I never could understand what that really meant until one day I went to sleep and had an out-of-body experience, and it just clicked. It's like there was an angel within me that was narrating what this fire was, but I was the fire. And once I understood that, it was like it just started burning up anything. Even what we call happiness and love, if it wasn't the divine love, not the divided love, but if it wasn't the divine love that come from, oh my goodness, from not even on this plane, if it tried to come near that fire, which I am, it would burn it up. And anything that I was, and like I said, if I travel through this journey from years and multitudes and other dimensions, if I came as an imposter of what I thought I was, then it would burn up. So it wouldn't, whatever it was attached to be, wouldn't go and attach itself to other beings. So it burned it up coming, and it burned it up going. And I got that, and I understood it.
Well, you clearly are either a fire guardian or fire angel or some kind of kick-ass fire being. I think it's awesome.
Yes.
You rock, sister. I think
yes,
it's awesome.
Yes. So then
and I love what you said about. I beg your pardon.
Yes,
I love what you said. The difference between divine love and divided love. I mean, that
mm-hmm.
is phenomenal as well.
Yes. Mhm. Yes. It. And I, like I said, it's like I had to. I had to really get an understanding of what that is because, you know, if they say happiness, and I've heard happiness and sadness is all a state of mind, but then I recognize that a lot of the entities, and even when you have sexual encounters, even when you're with your mate or your husband and you're having these sexual things, the thing about it, I have even got to the point to where I don't really cleanse myself before sexual when I have sex, because if that is a way of burning up these entities, then so be it. Because
mm-hmm.
I want to, you know what I'm saying? So, but it's only afterwards. It's best to do for me, it's best to cleanse myself and my aura after sex, not before. Because I want to be the ball of fire before, not after.
I hear you. That's amazing. Well, you know what? Thank you so much for sharing all of that. And
yes.
I really mm-hmm. appreciate your different perspective on how this
yes.
energy can be utilized. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's a great idea, you know, if to do the cleansing afterwards. I really appreciate that our listeners can now have, you know, different sides of the story. Thank you so much
yes.
for sharing
and
with us. Faith, is there anything you would like to ask our caller?
Yeah, actually, I'd like to ask you a question because your response is amazing, and I don't think most people have that ease of moving into that
yes.
Place you did. That says a lot about you, quite frankly. That's very
mm.
profound. Can you talk about the not so pretty part where you probably got angry? You know, kind of share a little bit how did you realize this was going on? You know, the incubus, succubus, your initial reaction a little bit, if you don't mind.
No problem. No, it wasn't a pretty picture at all. It's almost one of those things to where when you really, really, really know who and what you truly are, not what you were told who you are, but when you truly know it, it's one of those things to where you know that you're going to win the fight by not fighting. So then you recognize you're just the one that's observing the fight between all of the incubus because eventually they're going to burn themselves out anyway.
But how
so
did
just,
you get to that point? Like initially, how did you realize what was happening? How did you realize you must have gotten angry, the other side of it, before you got to the revelations that you're so beautifully sharing?
I see what you're saying. It
yeah.
started out when I got married, and I did not recognize that this was the first time I have ever, ever so encountered love in my whole entire being on this planet. I was so in love with my husband. Still am. Don't misunderstand it. Still am. But I didn't recognize that he was a catalyst of what was already inside of me. So it began with me having the understanding of me feeling really needy. I was really needy. I was always feeling like, okay, does he love me? I felt lonely. I felt abandoned. But he was there, but it was what I was feeling. And that's when I recognized that that was that little girl in me that was feeling that way because the absence of her father.
Mm-hmm.
That's what started it.
Mm-hmm.
And as I began, even in my adult stage, I had to go back in inside myself, and I had to actually pick me up as a little girl and put me in my own lap and hold me. because no one else could see her or me but myself. My husband was there, but he didn't know what he was looking at. So he calls me to go with inside of myself unknowingly to take care of that. It's almost as if I knew it, but I didn't know that I already knew what was going on in my whole life. So it's one of those things. And no, it wasn't a pretty picture, not at all. It caused a lot of things to show up in my physical being. Like, I thought I had high blood pressure. I thought I was having a heart attack. I thought I was going through all of these. But to me, the outside of the physical part is no more than what's healing from the spiritual part. So there was a lot of things that was healing in my spiritual realm that showed up in my physical part. So I did a lot of fighting, but I was fighting with the wrong thing. I was fighting with the outside of me instead of the fight was on the inside. So I began to sit down. My meditations and all of this played a major part in that. So
and how did you know that these, like, did your relationship change? Were you getting harmed? Like, is what we talked about a good representation of your experience that led you to that point of self-healing?
My abuse was really inflicted upon myself because the insecurities were so strong there. I didn't recognize that I was just like a sponge of abuse. Mine were like mental and spiritual abuse. No physical, they were more mental abuse. But it was inflicted upon myself, if that makes sense. I allowed a lot of things to happen from not knowing how to handle things.
So were you verbally attacked versus just the physical? It was more of a...
It was more of action. It was more of, if this is going on, how do you address it? It was the not knowing. It was the quietness that was inside. It was the chattering in the mind and not knowing how to express what was going on. It was as if the entities would not allow them to be spoken out because they wanted to attack me. They weren't worried about attacking the husband, the children, the mother, the coworkers. They wasn't concerned about them. And I hollered out and asked, why am I so angry? Why am I so angry? And what it was is because they were feeding off of the anger. The more that they could let me see the outside, which it wasn't the outside, if they can just show me things, it was like trigger points, that they could show me something on the outside that would stir up such anger. Because remember, there is this polarity down here where you have a weakness in power on the left, you have a greater power on the right. And I stay to the left, and that's where they would start feeding off of me. Once I got in the middle, I could see them kind of leashing off. They was kind of slowly moving around. And once I got over to that higher right side where I started sending and started elevating and evolving, then I was able to know how to use that inner power. That's when the balls of light start coming. And I had visions of this ball of light and fire, but I didn't know exactly what it was. It's like it wasn't time. It's like that was a treat at the very end, that this is what the power is, and I was able to access it because I knew how to, wisdom came and sat down, so I knew how to access her. But
so you're
it was like...
Your experience was certainly not a physical harming, is what, if I'm hearing you correct.
Oh,
and I think that this is a really good point that you bring up, that is misunderstood, and probably I don't think that we talked about that enough, so I really appreciate your sharing that, because that is a huge way that they work.
It's
a very subtle and insidious way, because they work through our young people that way, and we write it off as just being their hormones and teenagers and things. So,
yes,
this was really important.
Yes, and see, a lot of people are taught that that the quote unquote enemy is looking for itself, which is the enemy, and that's not the truth. You know, the enemy, our incubus, is looking for pure and innocent souls. A lot of times they don't want anything that's already been contaminated. They want a pure soul because they have more control and more manipulation over that soul. And people are not recognizing
yes.
that as well.
It's interesting that you say that, because that is the kind of energy that is leading all kinds of pedophile sex circles,
right,
trafficking
exactly.
of young children for sex.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so
exactly,
that is
yes.
that is the leading energy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, that's so true. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, this
Great.
Is so beautiful.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for sharing your experience
oh,
with us.
Welcome.
And your wisdom is really very refreshing, and it's a very nice perspective to hear. Faith, is there anything else before we say goodbye to our caller? Is there anything you would like to comment on or ask?
I think that your level of peace and centeredness and your awareness of being very, you know, really the essence of who we are is so important. The fact that you've been through it and sharing it is hugely important, because it shows people that they can do it too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very mm-hmm. grateful you called. It's a
yes.
beautiful way to really see your light. And quite frankly, a lot of these beings, they don't know any other way. And some of
That's
my experience,
true.
Some of my experience has been the most beautiful, because I ask them if they would like to go into the light, and oftentimes they're treated very disrespectfully.
Yes,
and
mm-hmm.
you know, to extend to them from the energy of which that you remember yourself to be is an amazing experience as well. Standing in your power and your healthy
mm-hmm.
boundaries,
mm-hmm.
recognizing another being of light to show them another way. That
yes.
is that's that way you were not fighting, like you said. It's not a
exactly.
when you're battling, you're joining them in their field. You know, if you can show them that that peace is within, and that's the path, and that's where true power is.
Mm-hmm,
that's mm-hmm. being in your light. I'm very
yes.
glad you found this program and you called in. What an inspiration. Thank you
yes,
so much.
Normally I'm not up at this time. It's just that the husband had to go to work, and I just said, let
mm-hmm.
me fumble around, because I'm normally not up at this time. And I appreciate this topic so much. I must have really needed to hear this as well. And I thank you for your reception. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for being awake and calling in.
Yes.
We really appreciate your contribution. So thank you to your hubby for going
yes.
to work early so that you could be up and
yes.
with us.
Thank you. I'm going to put my job on
Awesome. Here. Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye-bye. That was great.
Well, Faith, that was an awesome call. I really liked the different perspective. It was really, really great. And you know, I think she also brought up something very important, which is something that we need to touch on, and that is young children who are going through puberty. That puberty time is such a volatile time for them, because so many changes are happening for both boys and girls, you know. And I, you know, I've got, you know, as most of you know, I've got four of my own children and one little inherited one. And my twins are going through puberty at the moment. And my twins are a pigeon pair, boy and a girl. And my boy twin, Raven, he is, you know, he's coming up with all these big questions. You know, I got the question on the weekend, so Mom, what's a hand job? You know, and
oh, dear.
I have always been 100% honest and open with my children. I feel if they ask the question, they need to know the truthful answer.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, he was cringing and, oh, my God, sis, and, oh, no, Ma, well, you ask. But, you know, he was grinning from ear to ear. The eyes were full of mischievous little dancing sparkles, and it was like, really? Oh, that's gross. You know, but then ran off with this big grin on his face. He knew the truth now, and we didn't hear anything about it after that. And it was the same with the question about blowjobs and, you know, how do you get pregnant and where does the baby come out of and how does the baby get in there and how does the baby get out, you know. And I think if we hold our children in truth and honesty, they can accept these very human things from a point of, you know, like, oh, my God, really? Oh, gross. You know, he's 11 years old. So, yes, it is, oh, my God, really gross. You know, run off and, ah, to his older brother, Mom, just tell me what it is. And the older brother's cringing and he's going, Ma, did you really have to tell him? You know, and it's innocent. It's natural. And I think if we can just keep that, the purity and the innocence in it without making it absolutely disgusting or absolute taboo and you do not go there and this, you know, good girls don't do that to their boyfriends or their husbands or whatever the story may be, because that also creates a morbid curiosity which then leads children to go and look for the answers in places that we don't want our children to go and find answers. So just tell them the truth. And, you know, it's vital to also empower our sons and daughters in age-appropriate ways in terms of what this all means. And, you know, with my daughter, I must admit, I've been having the most phenomenal bonding experiences with my daughter. She's one of the twins, also 11 years old, and she's asking very important questions that I remember having but could never ask anyone. And seeing my 11-year-old daughter, who already embodies a level of self-awareness and self-respect that I never had at her age. Our lives are completely different, but it's just so wonderful as a mother to look at my little daughter and admire the qualities that she embodies. So I realized that this is not a self-awareness or a self-respect that I've taught her. This is a self-awareness or self-respect that has emerged as a result of how I have chosen to mother my daughter, in conjunction with all of the healing I've had to do on my inner child as a result of the molestations, the rapes, and all of that. And in choosing to heal my inner child, I have always been so aware of how my insecurities, my doubts, my wounds and issues can impact on my daughter. And when we did the naming ceremony for my three youngest children, and specifically with my twins, I made a vow to them that I would not allow my wounds to become something that they have to carry, that I will heal that, I will rise above it, so that they are not carrying the sins of their forefathers or foremothers in the form of our ancestral imprinting, ancestral baggage, etc. And I am trusting that in my children growing or maturing with that level of awareness, seeing me face my issues, seeing my husband and I have challenges, but we work through it. We don't scream at each other. We don't swear at each other. We never raise our hands to each other. There is no, you know, rejection, sleeping in different rooms, not speaking to each other for days. We have an issue come up. We address it. Even if it takes a few days, we address it in such a way that love is always still present. We might need to separate from each other for 30 minutes or for an hour to regroup or just feel. I might just need some space to walk away and just digest whatever is coming up. He might need to go to the gym and pump some iron to do whatever he needs to do. But we always come back to each other on the same day, and we clear as much as we can. We are in a loving space when we go to sleep at night. And when my children do witness my hubby and I having a difference in opinions or whatever, I always make it clear to my children that it doesn't matter how much my husband and I might disagree on something, or even have quite a feisty disagreement about something. There's never screaming, there's never swearing, there's never degrading each other. That we will always work to sort it out. It's about growing together, so that they feel secure within in their environment. This enables the child then to not be energetically susceptible to whatever is going on out there. We can't shield our children 100%. Children have their own issues. They go through their own transformations. Things happen that are out of our control as parents, because our children have their personal journey. They have their lessons to learn, their karma to overcome, whatever it is that needs to be mastered. But as long as we are taking care of our business and making sure that we are cleaning up our backyard, tying up our loose ends, we can be there as secure, involved, conscious parents to support our kids through those kinds of challenges. And if our children are affected by that, which I'm not sure if you would like to talk about, Faith, then at least we can be there to support them and encourage them in not completely falling into the arms of whatever it is taunting them, possessing them, attacking them. Does that make sense to you, Faith?
Yes, it makes sense to me. But I think the importance of respect being non-negotiable is key in any family situation. And we're teaching our children how to handle conflict, to resolve it and move forward, not to make somebody bend to your opinion. And it's true, dealing with these energies and entities, the importance of really knowing yourself, going inside of yourself and practicing when you're not threatened, seeing your own light like a match, and just expanding that light so it fills you up and outside of yourself, is kind of a way, that's one way that I know of, to be that ball of light that the caller described, and burning up what's near them. And it's actually my biggest teachers of the incubus, succubus energies were from the teens that I worked with, believe it or not. So I understand how, when the hormones start raging, it's kind of like a calling card and beacon to these entities that are looking for energies, because that's how they thrive. They don't know any better. They, one thing, like the caller is new to us. Michelle is the founder of the palaceofpeace.net website. If you go to her website, her work, for decades, has been about understanding the self, the soul's path, and we've spent a lot of time working on clearing ancestral, inherited ways of behavior, and really stepping into what our light is and our power. That's what these times are about. And isn't it true that the analogy was made that emotionally and spiritually we were at the 13-year-old level, the adolescent level, which is another reason why I think that age group is, targeted. And many of the parents don't have the tools they're at the same level. And so we're growing as humanity to the next level. So we need to learn how things work and tools to rise above it. And oftentimes the challenges of the teens are so that the parents can see that these are issues that need to be resolved within. But mostly people don't know what to do. And it's amazing that the woman who called in seemed to just really slip into that so naturally. I don't know if you want to add to that and then explain maybe how someone who's gotten into it, like the email we got, what is the advice to the practitioner to help the client?
Absolutely. Look, I think as far as our children are concerned and the parents who are not equipped to deal with that, that's a difficult one, because until the parents choose to face their own shadow and the reflections that are manifesting in their environment, it's going to be difficult to kind of like truly prevent anything like that affecting the children. But I think, having said that, parents such as ourselves who are conscious, who are aware, guardians, caretakers, teachers, whatever it may be, nurses, who are aware, to never let a moment slip by to encourage children to choose a course in life that is going to take them into the realms where they can manifest their hopes, their dreams, and their visions. And I think this is what teachers in our school system should be actually doing with our children, encouraging self-respect, self-esteem, all the things that we've spoken about, educating them in terms of what is going viral and trending on a social network in relation to flaunting your body or taking selfies of yourself in a thong or in a bikini and to see if your butt is anything like Kim Kardashian's or if your chest is anything like whoever the new person is that's done however many new boob jobs and guys having to be one way. We need to, as conscious, aware human beings, do something, regardless of whether you have your own children or not, but to step in and, as a guardian, as an earth guardian on Mother Earth's body, as a natural guardian of the innocent ones and the children, we need to step up and say, stop this, no more of this. We need to create that barrier where we say to the incubus and the succubus consciousness, that collective incubi succubi energy, is absolutely no frigging more, no way. So these people who are inviting this energy in, that energy is going to eventually be focused on the lower vibrations, the lower domains, where souls are choosing to remain in that realm for whatever reason it may be. Some of them will remain attached to the lower based energies because they are addicted to whatever it may be. And unfortunately, some souls are so wounded and so disillusioned and so fragmented that it's difficult for them to find any kind of light within their darkness or connect with any kind of goodness because of what they've experienced. And we need to make peace that that is going to be there. But that's part of the old world, the world that is, or the reality, the dimension that is separating from this new world or this new dimension and this new paradigm that many of us are choosing to step into and to co-create a new way in which we experience life. And eventually, the magnetic frequency that we create through our choice to hold ourselves 100% accountable for our actions, totally responsible for what it is that we are projecting into the world, that magnetic force is going to start drawing more and more souls out of the dark world the moment they wake up to a sense that there could be something better. So we need to implement the zero tolerance zone where we refuse to allow ourselves and our children and our environment to be subjected to this absolutely diabolical, insidious, base, lustful, demonic sexual energy, which is the antithesis of the sacred tantric union that the the original lovers brought to this earth, as I said earlier on, which was supposed to be the energy that would co-create through a co-creative experience, manifesting the birth of a divine child, a child who was conceived at the epitome of love, of bliss, of a bonding between two souls where that fire ignites a whole new passion, which then gives birth to new life. That is how life is meant to be created. But we all know the challenges that we have faced as a society. And the thing that we need to do over and above that, which is discerning what we will allow into our space and what not, educating people as we are attempting to do in our own capacity with Faith and I, with Palace of Peace Talk Radio, is to bring awareness and to empower people to such a degree where they feel that, yes, they do have the power to say no, and they do have the ability and power to discern what is allowed in their space, how their children are empowered, how our children follow our example, where we truly lead by example, not expecting anything more or anything less from anyone else that we would expect from ourselves. So that in itself becomes a powerful tool of releasing those energies from our environment, becoming more, immune to those kinds of energies. Now, when someone has been exposed to that kind of energy, and in the case where it has been a sexual possession or a not so light ex-partner projecting these energies in, the most important thing that you need to do, I would suggest, is work with someone who is perhaps a specialist in their field in helping to release these kinds of energies from the energy field and, of course, from all of your chakras. Now, Faith, I would like you to expound on this, because you've had a lot of experience in this area and suggestions in helping people to counteract this, especially with the work that you were doing with your teens, etc. So
yeah.
Would you like to carry on from there, please?
Sure, I would love to. And I can't help but think of the woman who called in. She did a beautiful job so naturally. I'm blown away by it. The not fighting it is everything. To step back and take a perspective of what's going on. And that was our biggest thing in our teen meetings. We'd talk about being the observer. And I'd say, think of cartoons, you know, where the cartoon character would wear a cap and it said reporter on the bill of the hat, you know, or and step back as much as you can. It might take when the situation isn't flared up, and really understand what's going on. And the being is, I guess the most important part is really knowledge is power. When you are swept away by complete fear and feeling very disempowered, maybe working with someone who can help you feel that peace so that you can get your arms around what happened, how it happened in the first place, I think it's like understanding how you got sick. Tracing the events, what do you have in common? What do you believe? What fear is triggered? And then actually, for me, and this is a perspective to really talk about, since it was a healer writing in, that they are stuck helping a client, to observe the situation in that way will help your client so that you can see how they got in the situation in the first place. That would be a great place to heal. Maybe the part of the body where the chakra is related. What's the issue with that chakra? Base chakra, if your fear, sacral chakra, love, receiving love, whatever, the third chakra, your personal power and light, which is a huge way that, you know, they can attach to you. Actually, even your health. Believe it or not, I read a book. I forgot the author of the book. It was in the early 1900s. It was Dion, can't remember the last name, A Clean Intestinal Tract. Believe it or not, you know, and now there's so much spoken about with health, right, as it relates to a healthy gut. Really, we worked a lot as it relates to self-love, self-worth, healthy boundaries. What do you own in this, such as drugs, sexual promiscuity, looking for a love in all the wrong places, all of those things. Really, it was these basics and the simplicity of these things that really helped. And then asking the entity, would you like to go into the light? And explaining that now that I understand what we had in common, I'm working on that. We won't have that in common anymore. So I recommend that now you know, and we've talked about it, how about we help you go into the light? That has been the biggest, consistent, most often experience by far. That I can relate to. And I believe that was a big part of the Hungary-Romania project. A lot of what happens is people turn to the dark because of love-based reasons and feeling disempowered, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think that these are really important points so that you're not so up in arms, because then you're in their field, you're playing in their turf, and they're really good at what they do. And a lot of what you see around in the social media and in the movies and things, they're really teaching you to stay in fear and not to understand what to do about things. And the more that you understand self-love, self-worth, what needs to be healed within yourself, as the woman said, that's where your power will be, and you'll rise above it, and you'll actually even help the planet and beings who are stuck, because they'll observe it. All they have to do is say, even angels help me now, and they will get immediate assistance. But a lot of times they're told that the light will harm them, they're not worthy of it, they can never touch it. They're told things that are simply not true to keep them imprisoned as well. There are beings that keep them there. There are territories where higher dark beings are in charge. It's quite interesting. It's very much like a corporate structure in today's world, is also in the invisible world. So there is quite a lot behind the scenes, but you're not defenseless. What the woman pointed out is very true, very real. And if someone comes to you as a healer, helping them understand who they are and their own light is really the number one thing to do, and then addressing the situation. That's been my experience, and it's been very successful. So that's what I would like to share. And bringing in spirit,
right.
God, whatever your words are, obviously. So I don't know what you'd like to add to that, Michelle.
Well, look, Faith, you know, I think you've made a very good point in terms of personal power, and I think that is one of the key areas where any kind of victim, in inverted commas, to this kind of possession and interference is supported in reclaiming their power. The other thing I would suggest that is done, and this is specifically for the healer who wrote in asking for assistance with her client, you know, if it's coming from an ex-partner, I would suggest then as well that you go through your space and clear out absolutely everything in your space that is either connected to the person or that reminds you of, you know, depressing or dark times from your past. And, you know, do these cleanups, you know, only keep like photographs that have real sentimental value, or you're keeping something for your children. The rest of it, let it go, because physical objects contain energy. That's why, you know, you can pick up someone's watch or a ring that they wear or a bracelet, and you can read their energy because these things absorb energy. So clean, you can never underestimate the power of cleaning out your space. The same as you clean out your heart space, your mind space, your soul space, and your body, your environment needs to be in the same kind of ordered and uncluttered, order, I suppose, is the only word I can think of.
Yeah.
So, you know, the system is clean. It's in order. It is, you know, it's not a whole bunch of dust gathered in a corner with cobwebs and dead insects and books that haven't been touched for ages or piles of old bills and statements and invoices, because that attracts that negative energy. And so be aware of that, and you know, work with a healer who you trust. And in the case of the healer who wrote in, who's having difficulty, I would suggest that our healer that the healer maybe contact two of our guardians, and she'll recognize their names. There's Heidi. Now, Heidi's surname, I'm not even going to attempt to to say again, it's Danish and it's double barrel, and that Heidi always giggles at me when I try and say her surname. So Heidi, and then Lena, and Lena, please forgive me if I pronounce your surname incorrectly, but it's Hoogland, I think, H-O-G for George, L-U-N for Nelly, D for dog, and she's one of our guardians. And Heidi and Lena and another guardian, Sage Emery, work very closely and work very well in clearing these kinds of energies out. So I would suggest that our healer contact either one or all three of those guardians for assistance in this case. But that's about as much as we can cover today. We've only got 3 minutes left of the show. So it's been such an interesting topic, and I'm so grateful again to our caller for calling in and just adding a completely different perspective to it, and your perspective, Faith, and my take on it. And I'm going to take this topic a little bit further in our next broadcast, where I've had some people also email me and in a little bit of fear and panic about, you know, all the ET disclosures that are now being made, and the Pope is going to disclose this, and NASA is going to disclose that, and the American government is going to disclose this. It is bringing fear up in people. But I think it's an important topic for us to also go into. We can continue with additional assistance and support around this particular subject as well. So to our listeners, if there are any deeper questions that you would like us to probe on your behalf, to offer a wider perspective or a more expanded view on the bigger picture, please feel free to either email myself or Faith. Faith, would you mind please just sharing your email address with our listeners again?
Yes, it's my first name, faith@faithparent.net, spelled P as in Peter, A-R-E-N-T, faith@faithparent.net.
Great. Thank you, Faith. And if there are topics that you would like us to cover that have a deep meaning to you, please email us with suggestions. We are open to it. This is the platform that we use to share our love for Mother Earth, our love for humanity, and just help people to become more aware, more self-aware, and inspired and motivated to get up off, you know, our seat of denial, complacency, fear, whatever it may be, and really just come to a whole new level of experiencing life. And thank you, Faith, for co-hosting with me today and for your input. And once again, a big thank you to our caller. We really appreciate that. And to all of you, our listeners, for tuning in today and listening to what we have to say. Thank you, Faith, for everything that you contribute. And thank you for waking up so early to always co-host with me.
Thank you very much, Michelle. So we'll let people know if they click the follow button, they'll know when the next show date and time will be at Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, so anticipate in a fortnight for our next broadcast. And as I said, follow us. Follow us on Facebook, Michelle Manders. On Facebook, you will find my timeline, Faith Parent Hendrickson, where we also make announcements of our upcoming broadcasts. Thank you, beautiful people. Have a wonderful evening, morning, afternoon, whatever it may be. And thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Faith.
Thank you, Michelle.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye.